There's like a billion things I want to talk to you about, but like I'll try to kind of pick my battles here. I don't know why I said battles.
Battles, like which battle are we gonna have?
Every topic is just a fucking grueling war. Yeah. Hey, my name's Mick Lauer. Online, they call me Rice Pirate.
Thanks for joining us, Mick. Should I call you Mick or Mr. Mick or Mr. Pirate?
Please, Mr. Mick was my father. No, just Mick. Mick is just fine.
Mick, thanks for joining us. My name's Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today on the first podcast. And with me, as always, we have Lars.
This episode is sponsored by Amazon, Audible, and patrons like yourself, just like our new $10 patron, Dom, who joined before the episode. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit more later. Mick, a.k.a. Rice Pirate.
Yeah.
A.k.a. I think that's actually your only two names. Can you tell us just like the 15-second version of who you are and what you do?
I'm a voice actor and animator, and I'm half Chinese, half Taiwanese, and half white. Is that pretty close?
Yeah.
It's pretty comprehensive.
Right. What do you grade that?
I'll give you the same grade that my great aunt gave me on my bar mitzvah.
Okay.
B+.
Okay. All right. I'll work on it.
That's actually true.
Is it really?
Yes.
She just handed you a napkin. You turn it over like, oh, hey, thanks, Gramps. And you look at it, you're like, what? Just B plus?
No, I wish. Afterwards, I asked my great aunt, how did I do or something like that? And she says, B+.
It's generous.
Yeah, she flew in. She flew in for it.
I like the idea of personal celebrations being graded. I think more things need to be graded. Like a date, you know, like at the end of the date, it's almost like an Uber ride. Like you send like a star rating to the person you went on a date with. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you were like a 3.5, you know.
You could add a tip.
Yeah.
In the app.
Yeah, legalize prostitution that way and really stealthily. It makes sense.
Yeah, like on Tinder, it makes you give a rating. I'm going to give you 5 stars. Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a huge problem in China, though, where they have like these that you can rate people and you have social credit and it's like a huge disadvantage to people who don't have a good rating?
Yeah, it's like gamified life.
Maybe it's not such a great idea.
I heard about that. People who have credit problems like debt have a lower social class, basically. So it's really what's the word? Classist.
Yeah, it is. But I think we already kind of have that in little microcosms. Like we have it on Twitter, you know, based on how many followers, YouTube or Instagram. I think, you know, I saw some video. It was with like Burger Andy or some shit. And he was getting attacked by some more popular people and he was hiding under a bush. And there was some girl. I don't know who the hell it was. She was a Twitch person and she was just ragging on him about how she could get, you know, 40,000 viewers in a night and he should just get the hell out or something like that. So I don't know. It does seem like it's kind of bled over into our actual human interactions, these weird metrics, I guess.
You ever go up to somebody and tell them, I have, you know, 80,000 followers or whatever?
Never.
You're trying to...
Never.
You don't go into a restaurant, you try slipping them a 20, it doesn't work, they don't have a table.
I will say, though, there are places, there are certain bars and stuff where they can check like how many Instagram followers you have. And that is basically the equivalent of getting past the bouncer. You know, that's your cover charge.
There it is. There it is in the chat. Oh, someone says, oh, wait, I want to talk, but I'm too nervous to say anything. Guys, this is a podcast. This is not a voice call. You guys are here to listen if you want to hang out with us. That's not how this works. But thank you for tuning in at discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com. Now, where were we?
Where were we?
We were just talking about whether or not Mick brags.
Oh, goes around bragging about my numbers. You know, I really like the fact that I've gotten to work on some pretty cool things, and the numbers that are there aren't hurting, but they're not so big that I'm inundated by people all the time. You know, it's still pretty quaint and personal when it comes to like the audience space, and I like that.
Have you ever been recognized? I mean, I'm assuming at a convention or something.
Yeah, occasionally. But what's kind of fun is when I first moved here to California, I went to Costco and they saw my Sleepy Cabin tattoo. And one of the guys who was working there goes,
"Oh shit! Oh my god, Sleepy Cabin!"
And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he goes,
"Oh man, I love that podcast."
I was like, "Oh cool, man. I'm glad you like it." It's like,
"Oh yeah, those guys are so funny, man."
And I was like, "Thanks." Oh. And he was like,
"Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll see you later."
Like, "All right, yeah, you too." But so it is nice that while people know of the podcast, they don't even know who the fuck I am, which works for me. I really don't mind that at all.
You get to keep your anonymity.
Absolutely.
You have any other stories? I love hearing stories about getting recognized.
I don't think there's anything particularly stand out. I mean, most of the time someone will just kind of come up to me at like a hotel lobby and they'll just kind of tap my shoulder or just kind of look around and they'll be like, "Hey, are you Rice Pirate? Are you Mick?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude." And they're like, "Oh, cool. You doing anything?" And I'm like, "No, man, I'm just waiting around." They're like, "Okay. Do you want to talk?" I'd be like, "All right. Do you want to go to the bar?" And they'll be like, "Yeah." And they're like, "All right." Then we just go over to the bar and have a few drinks and talk. Well, and then I fucking bounce.
Have you ever regretted agreeing to talk to somebody on a win? Like, "Oh God, I should never. This is a complete."
You mean like fans?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. The only time I ever really regretted it, I don't need to get into it. Okay. Some of the people who know me know about it. Okay. But the only time I think I regret it is when I got really, really wasted and it was in a public setting and there were lots of people there and I kind of went over the edge, had a little bit of a meltdown, and I ended up taking it out on the wrong people. And I never drank during a similar situation again. But yeah, that would be the time I regretted it. It had nothing to do with them. It was all me.
Well, you live, you learn, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
So are we ready to move? Are we moving on?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to mention that I feel like mixing, you know, fans and bars might be a risky proposition. But yeah, if you have something else you want to talk about, Joe.
I mean, if they're if they're 21, that's the best part about it is if I can go to a bar with you, at the very least, I know you're 21.
What do you like to talk about? What are your things that you enjoy to discuss the most in a conversation?
With them?
Yeah, like at a bar.
Yeah. A lot of times it's just how are they? A lot of times they will kind of ask about my projects and like, "Oh man, I really like that one video you did." And it's like, I appreciate that, but I made the video, you know, like I don't really need to talk about it very much. I'm much more interested in the people that are fans, you know, or that are following the work. Cause it's nice to know who I relate or who relates to what I make. You know what I mean? And where they're coming from. And yeah, I tend to ask more about the people. And I don't know if it's just how I interact with people, but generally a lot of the time, and I'm not dogging on this, but a lot of the times the people that come to me are not necessarily in the best emotional place.
Mm-hmm.
They're either like, you know, they're fighting depression or they've gone through a breakup or something. And they just want someone to listen and, you know, maybe give some advice. I'm not a psychologist, you know what I mean? Like, or psychiatrist. I can't really give any professional help, but I'm always happy to listen. And I am old, so I do feel like I have some advice, but I always tell them to take it with a grain of salt.
Oh, wait. Speaking of which, so because that reminds me of a question I wanted to ask, and it might sound like an insult, but I really don't mean it that way. Okay, so just bear with me here.
All right, look. It might sound racist, but it's not.
Wow. Okay, you just had the harmonica ready. That's great.
What? That wasn't me.
All right, hit me. Hit me with it.
So I'm starting to get up there in years now myself, and lately, I've been kind of like, not angsty about it, but definitely realizing I'm not 22 anymore or anything like that.
What, you'd be 23?
No, I'm 31.
What's up there? What's up there to you?
31.
That's not up there.
Yeah, let me finish.
31, you probably still look like you're 16. All right,
he does. He does look like he's 16. Very young.
I bet.
Looking.
I bet
he's really
does.
Awkward in social. Yeah. And then, so I was researching this episode and I thought, you were like 39, I think, at this point, or 40?
Yeah.
39?
I'm going to be 40 this year.
And I was like, oh, never mind. I still have plenty of time. And I don't mean that to say, like, I think, like, oh, if, look at this old guy. If he can be. No, I'm saying, like, if you can still be crushing it at almost 40, that means that, you know, like, it's not over at all. Like,
it's not.
There's still plenty of time to get to good creative work.
I absolutely, yes, I absolutely believe that. Look, when I say 30 is really young, I do mean that. If I could think back to fucking 30, man, oh, the shit I didn't know. And, I mean, God willing, I don't get, you know, cancer or some geriatric disease in my, you know, ancient 40s. I do think that a lot of it is kind of how you embrace age. It sounds so cheesy and hokey, but bear with me. You ever go on Facebook? Because if you're 31, then you know what I'm talking about. You go on Facebook and you'll see like another 31, 32-year-old colleague of yours from maybe high school or something, right?
Yes.
Or college. And they look old. They look like
death.
Old. And you know, they probably had kids. I'm sorry, but this is true for most people. Kids age you really fast. Mm-hmm. I think you like immediately get gray hair as soon as you have a kid. You know, flowing hair falls right out. I get it. You're not sleeping and you got a lot more stress on your hands, but it is interesting when you see that age, I do think is kind of how you embrace it. I think there are people like Paul Rudd, right? And yes, he's a genetic freak, but even if you can kind of see his wrinkles coming in, there's just like this boyish quality about him that I don't see going anywhere.
So you're calling yourself the next Paul Rudd, basically.
Hell okay. No. Okay. Hell no. I would never give myself that much credit. I'm just saying there's a spectrum. All right.
All right.
There's John Doe from high school who's 30, but looks 50. And then there's Paul Rudd who's 50, but looks gorgeous forever.
So Mick, where are you on the spectrum?
I'm on the spectrum for sure. I'd say somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
I'd say I'm somewhere in the middle.
What advice would you give to somebody who's 20 or 30 that you've learned even recently, as life lessons?
I would say that when it comes to pulling the trigger on something big, something that you've always wanted to do, and I realize not everybody has this opportunity, but I feel like once you're around 30, you start thinking about the things, you start thinking about what are the end goals? Like, what is this? Why are you here? What are you doing?
Right.
A lot of families start around that time. People start diving into, you know, their careers and stuff like that. I didn't really get into what I wanted to do until my mid-30s to late-30s, and not really until my late-30s.
Would you say that?
And
Oh,
I was just going to say, and that I realized that there was no right time. Not really. I mean, having some money, you know, having a job, these things help. But if you can somehow kind of juggle it, you know, put it into the mix, like whether it's working on a certain project or working on a certain career, if you can take night classes or do things in your spare time, because we all have a lot of spare time. A lot of us will think we don't or say we don't, but the truth is we really do. You got hours here. You got hours there. Sure, you're tired, but I just wish I started sooner because I kept waiting for the right time. And the truth was, I just got tired of waiting because I realized it was never going to fucking happen if I just kept waiting for the right time, because there is no right time. You know, you just got to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of spare time, that's something I actually feel pretty passionately about, which is that people have a lot more spare time than they usually say that they do, but it's not usually called spare time. They're just devoting it to something else that's not like super essential. So like Joe will say he has, you know, only 3 hours of spare time, but the other 3 hours of spare time he actually has goes towards like tending to his plants and stuff. So
sure,
it is just kind of a matter of priorities, I guess, at that point.
It is. And we add, that's the problem too, is it's not a problem so much as it's something to observe. How much of your time is spent, like that spare time, quote unquote, or your me time or whatever, spent doing things that are not essential to your own well-being and then also to the main goal you have? Because I can pick up 20 hobbies if I want. I can collect stamps and fucking, you know, raise chihuahuas or whatever the fuck. But if I do these things, I have to know that that's going to take hours and hours away from the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Do you mind if I pull something?
I can tell you that 8 hours of spare time every night when I'm sleeping, that's a complete waste.
Yeah. Oh, God, I wish I could just end sleep.
Yeah, I love sleep. Like, I love that deep African sleep. But I also, yeah, I really wish I could have those extra 8 hours back.
Oh, sorry, Lars, what were you saying?
Yeah, someone in the chat says,
the only thing holding me back as a content creator is my living space.
I'm not going to name them because I don't want to call them out, but yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it depends on the type of content you're trying to make.
Yeah, I suppose.
And, you know, sometimes it is a matter of readjusting what your vision of what you want to do is versus what you can do. So honestly, as much as I like animation, I would prefer, in my head, everything's a film. You know what I mean? But I don't have the tools for it. I don't have the know-how. And ultimately, what I want to do is tell stories. But it just so happens that animation is the way that I feel like I can capably do anything. And so, I mean, if the goal, I would have to know what they were trying to do in that space. If they're trying to be a gymnast and they only have a closet to live in,
sure,
they might have to go outside and outsource the space, you know, go find a gym. You know, if they want to record certain types of videos, maybe there's a YouTube space nearby. Maybe there's a local college or a film school that has space. If they want to do music stuff, you know, I know that they got rooms that you can do stuff in. So I think it is, how bad do you want it? How much do you really want to do this? And what lengths are you willing to go to do it? And not to get down on yourself if you're like, man, yeah, I guess I could do those things, but I'm not. I suck. It's not that. It's just, you know, how much do you want to do it, you know?
Yeah. By the way, Joe.
Yeah?
If people wanted to pick up supplies that they were going to use for their creative projects that they've decided to go ahead and move forward with, despite their apprehensions.
Don't hold that thought. I'm going to be right back.
Okay.
Keep doing that.
Okay. Lars, I think I know what you're getting at. Amazon.t1podcast.com. That's where you can find all kinds of things that you'll need to combat coronavirus, as well as harmonicas that you can buy for your little projects. There. Also, you can look into the abyss of the void of the universe and look into yourself and say, what do I need? What are my needs? What are my wants? How was that, Lars?
That was fantastic. Joe, I did not know you were going to bring a harmonica randomly to the recording today.
Oh, I thought I would surprise you.
That is wonderful.
Is this the first time you've brought it to the show?
Yeah, yeah. We've done, what, like 115 episodes. This is the first time.
I feel special now. Yeah. I feel very special.
I was. I thought I would bring my harmonica on today.
Mm-hmm. Amazon.t1podcast.com is the link. Guys, if you want to help support the podcast in a way that doesn't cost you any extra money, because you were gonna shop on Amazon anyway, go to amazon.t1podcast.com. Tell them Joe and Lars sent you. You won't be able to tell them that, but it still does help support the show.
It's implied when you click on the link, amazon.t1podcast.com.
Joe, I think as long as you don't abuse it, this might make a nice little addition to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you know I know how to play the harmonica?
No.
You should get a Jew harp, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
You never know when you can use it, you know? It comes in handy, I'm sure.
A Jew harp?
Yeah.
The Jew with the Jew harp. Yeah.
I'm a Jew.
That works. Yeah.
Have you ever played one?
I play a Jew on this show, if that's what you
oh
mean.
Oh, my God.
Or do you mean the harp?
Do you not know what a Jew harp is?
No, I don't know what a Jew harp is. Hold on. I should know.
It's the thing that goes...
It's the thing you put in your mouth.
Here, while we're looking this up, Lars, why don't you cue the Jeopardy music?
Cue the Jeopardy music.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Wow, that was some good music.
Yeah.
A Jew harp's like a harmonica.
But you kind of put it in your mouth and it makes a twangy noise.
That's cool. That's cool.
It's got the same, it's got that same old timey charm the harmonica has, but I don't think it has nearly as many options.
It's pretty limited, but yeah.
It is limited.
Do you play any instruments, Mick?
Oh man, I wish. I tried. I was in a band in high school. I tried to play the bass. I sucked. It was too much work. I played the bass cello. You know, the big standing tall one.
Oh, the big one.
God damn it.
Yeah, that one.
What is it, Lars?
So you're good at it, is what you're saying?
I'm not. No.
Oh, I was going to say, because otherwise you'd be basically the perfect human being. You know, handsome, no. You know, got a nice shiny head.
Stop. Stop.
Perfect round cheeks. Beautiful smile.
Man, I hate my round cheeks. I hate my smile. It's why I don't smile in photos. And I wish I had a full head of hair, but instead all of it fell onto my back and it just latched on.
Nonsense, Mick. You've got beautiful cheeks. Embrace your round cheeks.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. Hypothetical question for you.
Mm.
If you had to choose between getting 15 years, you wouldn't transport back, but you gain an additional 15 years of your current state.
Okay. Like it.
Or you could have a full head of luscious
15 years. Fuck the hair. 15 years ago, I shaved my head. I was fine. I'm fine with being bald, dude. Okay. I'm totally fine with it. It would be cool to have a head of hair because then I'd have choices. But at this point, you know, there's wigs, there's hats, you know. But 15 years? Fuck yeah. Oh, my God.
What would you do with the 15 years?
I would immediately get to work. I would immediately start. I would be like, I'm doing it now. Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be great.
Get to work on what, by the way?
This, Blood Sun Vendetta, the project I'm working on.
Oh, yeah. Are there any specific projects you want to plug and maybe discuss for a little bit?
You know, I mean, I can discuss it, but I don't really need to plug it. I'm working on a motion comic. It's based in the JoJo universe, the original timeline, and it's called Blood Sun Vendetta. The main protagonist is the bastard son of one of the antagonists from part 3, Stardust Crusaders, a whole horse. He's like a cowboy with a psychic gun. And it takes place in Mexico. But I don't want to plug it too hard just because I really want to get some chapters out. I don't want to overhype it. I don't want to overpromise. I've already done enough of that with like what I thought the timeline would be. But if you've ever done anything like animation, it whatever you think the timeline is, or film, whatever it is, you're wrong. Like double it, triple it, shut up. Don't make any promises because you're going to end up biting off more than you can chew.
All right. Yeah, guys, go check that out when it's out. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. We'll just call it that.
B plus.
Mick, have you ever literally bitten off more than you could chew when you're eating
all the time, eating
a steak or something?
When I was a kid, the thing about being a Chinese kid is in a family that doesn't have a lot of money is they want you to be as fat as possible because the fatter I am, the more affluent we look, you know, like the more like we look like we got money and shit. So every time I would go to eat with any of my Chinese relatives the ones I lived with, the more I ate, the more they would pat me on the back, the happier they would be. You know, there's even the Chinese phrase, you know, like, oh, hao guai, like, oh, so polite, so, you know, well-mannered, while I'm just stuffing my face, just almost like I can't breathe. I'm just, you know, chugging this food. So I spent a long time being pretty overweight. I just had really bad eating habits. And so, yeah, I mean, I remember even in Malaysia, it was kind of a point of pride when I was in Malaysia at one point. I remember trying to eat a Big Mac in 2 bites.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Yeah. It's pretty big. People used to faint me in the cafeteria for food. So like I'd let them pass me out and then they'd give me like fries and stuff.
Whoa.
They would choke you or something?
No. What you do is you fold down. So you stand up straight and then act like you're trying to touch your toes, right?
I've heard of this.
Then you breathe in and out really fast. While your head's down, then you stand up as quick as you can while you've breathed out. So on an out breath, then you cross your arms over your chest like a mummy. And then somebody pushes you up against a wall.
Yeah.
And then you can't breathe. And then you generally just crumble down to your feet. You pass out for like 3 or 4 seconds. It feels like a long time, but it may even be less than 3 or 4 seconds. But you pass out for a bit.
So guys at home, make sure to go ahead and try this while you're listening.
Don't try that. Don't try this at home. Mick, I'm sure you're a trained professional.
I had a lot of experience. I got a lot of French fries out of that. A
lot of French fries.
I have an embarrassing eating story from a child as well.
Oh, take it away, Lars.
Okay. So One time, a family friend of mine invited me over to a meat and potatoes dinner with his parents. And
what'd you guys eat?
Meat and potatoes, it sounds.
Well, it was for meat and potatoes. So it'll give you 3 guesses. But okay, so this is at the point where I just like we didn't have a lot of steak when I was a kid, so I was kind of not new to it, but I didn't really understand the fibrous properties of it. I was mostly like used to hamburgers and stuff.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And I think you might listen to this episode. So hi, Paul, if you're listening to this. So I take a big bite of steak and I just like it gets stuck in my throat and I projectile vomited it all over everyone. Just goes all over.
Oh, good.
And I was really embarrassed. And I'm like, can I go home now? There's not much you can do in that situation. You just kind of have to like.
I just like the idea of you biting into a steak and realizing you probably should have cut a piece off instead of just biting into it. And they're all just watching you as you, because at this point you can't just take it with your hands. So you just have to commit and you just start chewing and chewing almost like a long piece of spaghetti. Mm-hmm. You just keep chewing that whole steak and just filling your mouth up with steak, sucking it up in there
until the whole thing is just inside your whole mouth.
And then you throw up because you can't swallow it. Did you guys see that Kenny versus Spenny episode where all they did was eat meat?
Maybe.
Oh, it's been so long since I've seen that show. It's a good show, though.
Kenny versus Spenny.
Yeah, they ended up, I forgot the guys. I don't remember which one is which. But one of them gets, and if there's any people in here who are, you know, sympathetic barfers, just cover your ears. But they do this thing where they only eat meat. And they're having this contest to see who can eat meat, more meat. And at one point, one of the guys decides like it's easier just to put it in a blender. So they put like, you know, burgers and hot dogs and steaks and he just puts it in a blender. He starts drinking it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the thing is like they consumed so much meat during that time that their body just straight up starts rejecting it. It's like, you know, like you just can't consume that much meat. And then for the tail end of the episode, they're just the entire time they just continuously barf meat like it just streaming thick. Streams of barf, the meat barf.
Sounds like a Filthy Frank video.
To anyone listening to this on their lunch, sorry.
Sorry. Just don't be dumb. Eat meat responsibly.
I have a projectile vomit story.
Oh, great.
Several, actually.
Let's hear it.
There's one in particular, if you want to hear it.
What's your best projectile vomiting story, Joe?
Well, here's one that I don't think I've told in a while.
Okay.
So I'm about 18, and my friend and I are drinking like sailors in my room at my house, and we probably finish almost 2/5 between us.
Oh, I remember this one.
Nice.
And by the end of the night, I get nauseous. I'm in bed at this point. I get nauseous, so I go into the kitchen to get a bowl from the kitchen in case I throw up, which I did end up.
Yeah.
So I fill up the bowl, and then I throw up like all over my mattress, and then I'm like, oh, I should go to the bathroom and throw up there. So like I throw up in my room on the way over, and I throw up in the hallway. I throw up like all over the door and the handles and everything. I think I threw up a little bit in the kitchen. Like I don't really remember going into the kitchen, but so in the morning, my dad's like, what the fuck happened? And I'm like, he's like, do you have the flu? Are you poisoned? I'm like, no, we went to McDonald's last night and I had chicken nuggets for the first time and I did not have the antibodies for the chicken nuggets.
Oh my God.
And he's like, oh, okay. And then,
no, he didn't.
Yeah.
He knew.
Of course he
did. Well, he was like, okay, skeptically though. Like he obviously didn't buy that, Joe.
No.
Yeah. Alcohol barf smells very different. It has a very sweet kind of disgustingness to it.
You're right. Fast forward 2 months, we're at my grandparents' house and they ask my dad, have your kids ever lied to you about something? And my dad's like, well, one time one of them he threw up and said it was chicken nuggets. And just looks at me and I just look down.
You got owned. He waited. He sat on that bomb and waited to drop it in public.
Yeah, you're right.
Dude, your dad's kind of cool. I like him now. That's great.
That's cool. Do you know Joshua Tomar, Tomamoto?
The name is very familiar.
He's a great friend. He's a great voice actor. He's also on Oni Plays. He's a Newgrounds guy, but he smokes a lot of weed. And so I went over and I don't really smoke weed. I generally drink, but you know, it's California. That's the problem with drinking is that you kind of forget things like I shouldn't smoke weed. So I think it was probably about 7 months ago. I can't remember fittingly. And I drank and then I started smoking weed and I got totally crossfaded. They had the volcano. It's like this big, it looks like something out of Space Odyssey.
The vaporizer.
Yeah. It's like it almost looks like a blender from the 50s or something, or a food processor.
Lars, you know the volcano?
I do not. But I'll just continue.
It's a really powerful vape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyways, I hit this thing not knowing what the hell I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
and not being the you know, I don't have the antibodies for weed that other people have. I don't have any tolerance. And so I remember I crawled home. Luckily, he lives right next to me. But I do actually recall not being able to stand up. I got up to leave, but it took everything I had to be like, all right, guys, I think I got to go home. And I stood up. And as soon as they closed the door, I was like holding on to the railing. It was like that Squid Dad game or whatever it's called.
Octodad. Yeah.
Yeah. Octodad. And I was just like grabbing onto things. And finally I got to the bottom of the staircase and then I just start crawling. I was on the pavement. There was like broken glass and pennies and shit. And I finally got to my building and I crawled up the stairs. I got into my apartment. I went into my bathroom still with like all my clothes and I got in the shower and I just turned it on with like all my clothes. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking die. So I just start taking off all my clothes and I start puking in the shower. And then I tried to get out, but then I had to puke again and I didn't want to puke in the toilet because I figured there was going to be so much, like it just wasn't going to work. I might as well just be in the shower and have the water running. So I'm halfway in the shower. I'm naked. And like my head is just spinning and I have like the water, like it's not even the sprinkler part of it's not the faucet head. What the fuck is it called? It's not the
faucet.
It's the bottom one. The one you use to fill the bathtub when you're taking a bath. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Spout.
The concentrated water. Anyways, I got my head under there and the only thing going through my head was, please, I can't fucking die like this. Mm-hmm. I really thought that. I was just like, I can't die like this because someone like my roommate or somebody is going to come in. They're going to see my naked, bloated, dead body hanging halfway over a bathtub. My hairy ass, you know, just sticking out and just puke filled into a bathtub, you know. Oh, not doing that again until I forget.
Well, at least you learned a lesson from it.
That sounds awful in every possible way.
Got to avoid that. Avoid that. That's some life lessons for you.
Do you believe in alternate reality, like parallel universes? Maybe there's a universe where you did die over that shower.
Yeah.
Hairy ass.
Okay, so number one, I believe in alternate dimensions as much as I believe in God, which is maybe. Like, I can't say definitively no.
Right.
So, you know, that's about as far as I can get on board with it. But yeah, also the idea of, have you ever died in your dreams?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or yeah, even in real life, you just, like, the really close calls. Like, you can't believe that just happened. You were inches away. You were 1 second away from being fucking dead.
Yeah, Mike, I've had, like, a bunch of near-death experiences.
So I think in that scenario, there is almost, like, a reality offshoot. Like, you did die, or you were going to die, but this version of you didn't, so you get to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt the same way, like
Mario Maker, you know,
just like Mario Maker,
you know, after like 5, 6, 7 near death experiences, it kind of like makes one think, what are the odds I would have lived each of those times? Like, maybe there is like an alternate reality and your body just goes to the one that's still alive. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I'd like to believe something cool like that. I always said, man, I wish I could see a ghost. I don't care if it's the scariest fucking thing in the world. I don't care if it's a giant spider. You know, I hate spiders. Like, I just want to see a ghost because as soon as I saw it, no matter how scary it would be, at the very least, I'd know there was something else. You know what I mean?
You know, be interesting is if, you know how on Super Meat Boy, once you beat a level, it shows all the paths that you took and how you died and everything.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting if it, like, in life, you could watch like a fast forward thing where you would have died otherwise in the different realities.
Yeah. No, that's what. Exactly. That's why I mentioned Mario Maker. Don't they do it in Mario Maker or no? Oh, they just show you the dots where other people died.
Mm.
So exactly like what you were saying then. Yeah, that Meat Boy thing. That would be cool to see your life like all the different times. Yeah.
I've had dreams like that where I'm like in a room with like a circular theater with like a bunch of cinemas and then each one represents like a scene out of my life or something.
Wow.
And then you wake up and you're like, that was kind of weird.
How often do you have that dream?
Well, it used to be more. I used to have this weird reoccurring dream where I go into an elevator and each time I have that, and each floor on the elevator represents like a different dimension. And then every time I had the dream, it would have more and more floors to the point where it was like hundreds of floors and the higher levels are like higher, you know, just like different dimensions and stuff within my dream.
I like that.
I have a weird mind.
You know, I feel like my dreams have gotten so I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, my dreams were so vivid and I used to have them all the time. And the older I get, I don't know if any of you guys have noticed or anyone in the audience has noticed, but I feel like the older I get, the less vivid my dreams get. And in some point, like sometimes I just go months without even remembering a dream or if I even did dream.
You know what you could do is keep a dream journal and then it's supposed to help you have more vivid dreams and dream more often.
You know what? Yeah, I think I did hear that. I tried to do that, but then I got really lazy because then I'd wake up and I'd be like, time to write this down. Ah, fuck it, man. I'm just going back to bed.
Exactly. You could also draw a picture of what you saw in your dream. That works too.
Yeah. I was thinking, this is kind of unrelated, but I was thinking of a kind of therapy that people could get, like really powerful, rich people could get this kind of therapy where it's kind of anonymous, where they walk into, and you mentioned the circular room. That's why I thought about it. But it's like a big circular room. It's really dark, almost like a steakhouse. And it's got this like red velvet walls, but very low light. And in the middle, there's kind of like that, you know, psychologist chair that you lay down in, super comfy.
A chaise lounge.
Yeah. And then above you, there's just a little bit of light that comes down. But then there's a surround sound system. And the doctor doesn't ask your name, but you can just talk to this voice. And, you know, hopefully they're not trying to psych you out or give you bad advice, but just like a conversation with just this big voice in a big ass room. I don't know. A rant room. Yeah. Something like a rant room, but also just a thinking space, you know, for yourself.
Couldn't you design your own room like that and then just minus the voice and just like talk?
Just yell at no one in particular. Yeah.
I mean, that is me in general. I don't really yell, but I definitely talk to myself quite a bit. That's another thing. The older I've gotten, the more I talk to myself.
What kinds of things would you say? Like, gotta get milk.
Most of the time, gotta get milk. No, most of the time it's things. Most of the time I just say like, don't do that. Oh, that's a bad idea. You know, you don't want to do that. Or what are you doing? Just go do the thing you're supposed to do.
Sometimes I do that when like I'm going to grab something and for some reason I misjudge the depth perception. So like I miss picking up a controller or something and I'm just like, okay, all right, great job, dude. So I just like mock myself ruthlessly a lot. By the way,
yeah,
you mentioned that you had some food dropped off. If you want to take a quick like eating break, we can bang out another sponsor if you want.
Oh, I mean, you can do the sponsor, but I don't need to eat. I'm fine. I can wait till we're done.
What kind of food did you get?
Chinese food, dude.
Cool. What did you order?
I ordered General Tso's chicken with a side of Corona. No, I got
topical.
Yeah, right. I got mushu pork. I got sweet and sour soup. I got a kung pao chicken, and I got some brown rice. That's the one thing I hate about ordering food. Normally, I would have gotten it, but we had the podcast. I hate ordering from Grubhub because I always feel like I'm ordering for like 20 people, and it. And the bill is always so fucking high, too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Speaking of which, by the way, this is just proof that humans are stupid. The fact that Corona beer sales are down.
Yeah, dude. Oh, no.
Like, calm the cuff on, guys.
You know, initially, that's why they changed the name to COVID-19, because they were saying that they didn't want to hurt the tourism to Corona, the actual place of Corona.
Oh.
So that wasn't the only reason why, but they mentioned that that was a reason.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting like the Corona brewery was paying people off to like call it COVID. Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
No. But in my head, I was like, that's ridiculous. Who wouldn't want to go to Corona just because of, you know, the coronavirus? Like they somehow think that's related. And then I heard about the beer afterwards and I was like, oh, I guess it really does make a big ass difference.
And the toilet paper. And the water, because your taps are going to turn off, I guess.
Yeah. What's the deal with the toilet paper? Is it running out because everyone's buying it? Or is it running out because it was made in China?
I think because everyone's buying it. People are afraid that they're going to have to hunker down for a while. And I guess the whole country only keeps, what, like 3 days supply of toilet paper, we're finding out? I don't know.
Well, because everyone knows you can't take a poop without toilet paper. So that's an obvious one, Joe. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Flawless logic there.
Japan is laughing it up because they all got, you know, fucking transformer toilets, those, you know, futuristic bidets that give your butthole a manicure.
Yeah.
So they don't even need it. But then secondly, I was going to say This is another hot tip from one old guy to younger guys. Pick yourself up some biodegradable, earth-friendly butt wipes. They're cheap. You can get them from Amazon.
Oh, this would have been a great segue.
Oh, are you talking about moist, flushable wipes?
Yes.
I was writing a song about that today.
I love them. I don't know why I ever wipe my butt with that dry tree bark. Why did I ever even think that was a good idea? As soon as those moist towelettes touch my bum, I'm like, the angels sing.
I've used those.
Yeah.
They're nice.
I love them.
I shit you not. Earlier today, my brother randomly says something about a moist, flushable wipe, and then I just start singing. I'm not going to hurt your ears right now, but
it was beautiful, though.
It was beautiful. It was.
Yeah.
I cried.
It was amazing.
All right.
But there's no long lines. You don't have to worry about going to the grocery store and getting mauled by, the riots in the toilet paper aisle.
Exactly.
You can just go to your computer, click on Amazon, and have it sent to your door.
You also don't have to worry about going to the bookstore anymore, guys. You know why?
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
That's right, guys. Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free book on our behalf. Free as in beer, not free as in freedom.
Now, Lars, somebody in the chat says, but Lars, I'm deaf. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you're not deaf. So check out audibletrial.com/T1podcast and get your free audiobook today.
That reminds me of that one time where you said that you wanted to call this show the official podcast of the blind, deaf, and mute. Do you remember that show?
And I still stand by that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great name.
Where does the first podcast come from?
1972.
What?
Anyway.
Moving on.
So.
Great movie.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Get your free book today.
Guys, you're going to have a lot of downtime when the coronavirus kills us all. You might as well get some audiobooks and get some entertainment while you're waiting.
Yeah. Now, we had Andrew from the official podcast on our show, and Mick, you were on the official podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, man. Those guys. Oh, God. Those guys. They try. They're doing their thing, I guess. But man, what a shit show. No, I'm just kidding. They were great. I thought they were awesome. Just shooting the shit and talking.
Joe, this is our podcast. Let's talk about our show.
Yeah.
Let's take advantage of the opportunity.
In the chat, they're telling us to talk about Sleepy Cabin. Okay. Maybe we should spend a little bit of time talking
about.
That's
pretty vague, though. Like, what details should we discuss?
Yeah, which detail from the chat? Which details should we discuss?
What do you guys want to hear about? Let's give them a second to type it out.
What do you want to hear about?
We already had Niall on, and we're going to be having Stamper on pretty soon.
Oh, nice!
All those people.
Mick's handsome face. We already talked about Mick's handsome face.
Oh, someone is asking. Oh, this is actually a good question for people who don't know in regards What's to that? Sleepy Cabin. What mm-hmm. is it?
It's a podcast. Initially, it's a podcast with a bunch of creators. They were all from the Newgrounds crew.
Mm-hmm.
The core group started with Stamper, Chris, Zach, Johnny Utah, Jeff. And later, I know Corey got in, Niall jumped in, and then I joined as well. And we kind of just took turns talking about literally nothing. Literally whatever.
It was really interesting to hear, by the way, from Niall that he apparently just kind of fell ass backwards into the podcast.
Yeah.
Just because he was there.
Well, he was, he'd hang out. That was the thing. So he'd just be like in the back smoking and drinking. And then I think Stamper was probably just like, come over here, just talk to me, tell me stories. I mean, if you've ever met Niall, he's an entertaining guy. He's got funny stories. He gets himself into some crazy shenanigans. There's no shortage of weird scenarios that he's been in. So, yeah, it's always fun to hear his perspective on things.
I haven't met him in person, but like he's the first person I want to go like get a beer with if I ever go to Ireland.
Yeah, I you know what? He would, though he'd probably appreciate it if you bought him for him.
Jay. Jesus.
I was just in Ireland.
Ah.
I was in Dublin for a whole 5 days.
He'd get you back. I'm just saying, there's a lot of back and forth sharing of stories, sharing of beer.
Mick, you ever been to Ireland?
Very briefly. Very, very, very briefly.
Sounds like it was a bad experience.
No. Oh. We were just kind of in and out.
Okay.
I was going to school in England at the time, so we were just in and out.
Oh, where in England?
In London.
The reason he's asking is he just took a major trip to Europe, like, last week.
I was also in England.
Last week? Did you go to Italy?
No.
Good.
No, the places I went to didn't have coronavirus, luckily.
Okay. Which sucks, because Italy is honestly one of the few places I would go back to any day of the week. I fucking love Italy, dude. The food is awesome. Everyone kind of, I don't know, everyone seems pretty cool, but it's just beautiful. Everything is gorgeous there, man.
It was honestly on my list of places I was considering going to, and it's probably a good thing I didn't.
Yeah, and no, I, absolutely. I mean, they shut that whole thing down.
Mick, you ever been to Venice?
Yeah. The only thing about Venice I didn't like was that it stank. But
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it is beautiful. But yeah, it stinks like shit, man.
It was incredibly romantic of a setting. It was just great. We got a hotel out there, and it's just, there's really no place like it.
I just couldn't imagine being on one of those gondolas trying to you know, romance your partner on some romantic riverboat ride when all you can smell is feces, you know, and sewage just filling your nostrils.
Well, you get used to it if you live there.
That's true. Yeah.
I hear they go by really fast. Like one moment they're there, the next moment they're gondola.
All right, guys.
I quit the podcast. I'll see you later.
All right. Well, looks like it's just me.
If I had to choose between that joke and getting coronavirus, I'd take coronavirus in Venice on a gondola any day.
What do you think about the millennials choosing to go on these like 5-star vacations at deeply discounted rates? Because if they're going to get coronavirus anyway, you might as well do it like, you know, in a 5-star hotel or something.
Yeah. Awesome. Do it. The only thing I'd say is just make sure if you're going to actively pursue getting coronavirus while also having an awesome vacation, that you're responsible when you get back and, you know, do what you can not to spread it, you know, to parties that would be susceptible, like old people or people with respiratory issues or, you know, stuff like that.
Would you say part of that is not going on the vacation in the first place, knowing you have an increased risk of getting it?
I mean, they know they do, right?
Sure.
So I think they're just YOLOing it up, you know?
Well, the millennial death wish is real, so yeah. It's not necessarily a downside.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. What precautions are you taking in order to stay away from coronavirus? Like, what can we learn from you? So, you know, I'm assuming you're like an expert on the situation.
What, because I'm half Chinese?
I don't know. No. I was just...
That's racist, Joe.
I didn't say that.
He didn't say it.
You just heavily implied it.
I can smell it. I'm actually really bad. You know, in California, there hasn't been too much of an outbreak, so people haven't been taking it too seriously. I have been washing my hands more, I guess, but I do cook most of my own food and I work from home, except for when I'm recording gigs. So I'm pretty much in the lowest category of risk because I am isolated, you know, a lot. Also,
that's good.
I don't think it really works this way, but I have joked that I desecrate my internal organs with as much alcohol as I can sometimes. And I believe I've made it probably the most inhospitable place for a germ to take root. So I'm not going to tell the old, you know, the old adage of, it's distilled. It's distilling the germs. No, I'm just creating a tormented hell for any other organism to jump into my body, like giving myself chemo but with alcohol.
That makes sense.
So just a tormented hell in general, and then the, you know, the germs don't want to join.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without doxing yourself, where are you in California? Like LA?
Burbank.
Oh, okay. I bought my car in Burbank.
Did you?
Yeah. I was.
Good for you, Joe.
Where are you guys located? And you guys can dox yourself if you want.
Orange County.
Orange County? What's your address?
123 Fakes.
Fake street.
Yeah.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that, Joe.
Because that's his address, dummy. Yeah,
no, I just think we're in sync as podcast hosts, Joe. I think we've developed a good thing here.
You're right, Lars. And you know what else I think?
Yes.
Well, why don't you go ahead and say it since we're both on the same wavelength?
Okay. I was going to say a little funny anecdote for you here, Mick. Okay. So at one point, Joe asks one of our guests named Aerospace, who's a rapper. He's like, what's your social security number? And the guy rattles off just like a number real fast. And it was like so fast that you could tell it was his actual like SSN. We had to bleep it in post. It was really funny.
See, I feel like if you ask the question like kind of nonchalantly enough or directly enough. Sometimes people are just scared into a response. In New York, there was a guy called the Quarter Guy, and around Union Square, it's about 14th Street and Broadway. There was a guy named the Quarter Guy. He goes around, he wears like a decent outfit. If you're from New York and you were there, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, you probably know what I'm talking about. I don't know if he's still there, but he would go up to you and just go, "Hey, got a quarter? Got a quarter? Got a quarter?" And you just go to like, and he just go to the next person, next person, next person. He just kept going around to each person. And the amount of people that were dropping quarters is crazy. Cause the first time he does it, it's like, ah, you know, you're just like shocked into submission. You're like, I think so. Like, sure, here you go. You know, but he just, it's like speed dating at that point where he's just, he's asking so many people, somebody says yes.
Yeah. That's just, I mean, it's kind of like a sales job because you have to build your pipeline, you know, by putting out the request, and a certain percentage are going to say yes. And it's a real simple pipeline because then you just get, that's it.
And so much more effective, right, than the guy just sitting on the street with like the fake bum leg. You know what I mean? Like he's getting whoever comes by and looks at him. And, you know, eye contact is a big thing. If you make eye contact with someone, there's like a certain percentage that raises in whether or not you're willing to like help somebody or listen to somebody. And so a lot of times people will avert their eyes, you know, but when someone just comes right up to you, you know, he's doing all the legwork and he's getting that direct eye contact and he looks like a normal guy. So you're not like, you know, if anything, the way he's running around, it's like he lost his kid or something. But yeah, I think that's a very effective game plan.
Do you have any tips, tricks, or advice about eye contact? Because when I was in Europe, they make
that so random.
No. When I was in Europe, eye contact is so different. Everybody makes a lot of eye contact, so much. And I like it. You know, it's so easy to tell what a stranger is thinking because they're making eye contact with you. Here, everybody looks down. Everyone avoids eye contact. So I was just curious, like, you know, you have this wisdom and I want to tap into your brain all as a figure of saying,
you know, I personally have been told that when I make direct eye contact with someone,
they get pregnant.
Yes. No, that they feel really intimidated.
Oh.
And I'm not saying like I'm very intimidating. I think maybe there's just certain types of looks that people have. And I don't know. I feel like direct eye contact for prolonged periods of time, you start to notice. You're like looking at them and they're looking at you. And in the back of your head, all of a sudden you're like, okay, we've been looking into each other's eyes a little bit too long.
Well, Mick, are you making the face that you're making in your profile picture when you do this? Because if so, I can see why.
Sometimes I have a natural, I think my natural face is a scowl, I think.
Oh. So
even when I was in acting school, a lot of times they were like, don't be angry. And I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm normal. I'm neutral.
They're like,
you got the dude version of resting bitch face.
I do. It's not a straight up. It's more like resting bro face.
I have the same thing.
What's up, bro?
I kind of like to make eye contact with people because it's a connection that you're experiencing with somebody. Yeah. And I like to not creep somebody out or like, so
yeah.
Sometimes if I'm walking around and I know I'm going to be walking around for a long time, like, you know, miles or something, you know, I'll look into a mirror from time to time if I pass by my reflection and I'll try to, you know, grin. I'll try to smile. I'll try to, you know.
You're like a fucking sociopath trying on like human emotions.
Joe, I'm concerned.
No, but is that weird?
Yes.
Is that weird to be like,
yes,
I want to not have resting bitch face?
Oh, that's not
no,
weird.
That's not weird. That's not
I'm just
weird.
Checking my face.
Yeah. No, you're conscious. Know. You know what? If anything, you're doing us all a favor because you're thinking about us. You're thinking about how we're going to feel when we see you.
It's mutually beneficial. I want people to have a good experience when they see me because then I will have a good experience when I see them.
Yeah.
And we're more likely to have like a good, you know, like maybe they'll strike up a conversation with me.
Yeah.
Or maybe if I want to strike up a conversation with them, it'll be easier.
I agree.
Because I have a smile on my, you know.
But you know, it's weird because like in New York, there was a period of time when I went through kind of like a love everybody phase, and I was definitely smiling more. I told people I loved them a lot, not like strangers, that would be kind of weird, but like my friends and stuff like that. And I was, because I had just gotten out of being really angry for a while. I had like these, bless you, I had some like, not anger issues, but like I had anger issues. And so I kind of did like a reevaluation of my life, and I was like, I don't like being angry, and I don't like how I feel. I don't like how I make others feel when I'm like this. So I kind of made a conscious effort. You could say I was trying to be more positive and be more friendly. And eventually it just kind of worked itself in naturally. You know what I mean? Like at first it was a little weird and contrived, but eventually, you know, you do it long enough, like posture, and it just kind of becomes part of you, you know?
Did you fake it till you make it?
I did. I faked it till I made it. And one thing was I noticed in New York, there were certain people that didn't like the fact I was smiling. I would have, you know, I'd meet people and they'd be like, "You're not from here, are you?" And I'm like, "Well, dude, first of all, who in New York City is from New York City? I mean, the majority of people here aren't, but
I've heard that before."
And I was like, "Yeah, I'm not." And they're like, "Yeah, I could tell." I was like, "Why?" He's like, "You smile too much." And I was like, "What?" I mean, A, I don't even smile that much, but I guess I wasn't a dick, so that counted as like smiling. But it's a little bit like pronouns, you know, like you don't know how other people are going to react, you know, but they'll have a feeling. They'll have a strong feeling about it. You could walk by people and they'll be like, "Man, why are you so angry? Why you got to be like that?" Or other people, "Why are you smiling all the time? You know, like what's your problem? Are you kind of creepy?" And it's the same thing with eye contact. You know, if you look somebody in the eye long enough, they'll be like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" Or other times they'll be like, "I don't think you respect me, or you seem, you know, kind of distant because you never look me in the eyes." Who can't really, just got to be like a play to play basis or person to person, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't please everyone all the time. And that just, that's kind
exactly.
of goes damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm. When I got back, I realized how people here avoid eye contact compared to people in Europe. And so I'd be looking, you know, at somebody in the eye for less than a second even, and they look away. And it kind of makes you think like, oh, this is a person that can't handle eye contact.
Yeah.
You know, it makes people uncomfortable.
Sure. And to a degree,
myself,
I was going to say to a degree, they're right, though, because, you know, I think in our culture, there is less of that. If I went up to your mom the first time I met her and kissed her three times on the cheeks, you might be like, what the fuck, dude? What, you know, yeah. And she might even be like, "Excuse me," you know, not that she's a British man.
Yeah, that deep, dark voice. "Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I am Lars's mom and you have offended me." Yeah, I got you.
But, you know, in other cultures, it's like if you don't kiss somebody three times on the face, you're a dick.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying? Like, I'm not kissable? You know, I mean, I know it's just a general greeting, but
general greeting.
Yeah. You know, I used to be so bad at eye contact, and it was because I didn't understand the, I would say growing up in this society, one, and like, I didn't understand what the rules are because everybody kind of plays by their own rules. Like,
yeah.
What percentage of the time do you make eye contact? For how long? Like when you look away, like, but you still see their eyes in your periphery. Like, is that good?
You know? Yeah. And do you have to ask like for consent now? Like if you're going to do, I'm not downplaying consent. I'm saying specifically sure. with eye contact, I know it is a sensitive issue for some people because they can feel like they're being violated. If you're like straight up just staring into their eyes, you know, I do think it's kind of intimate. I think staring somebody in the eyes is a really intense connection.
I think if you're staring at somebody, that would be like inappropriate eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but if you're just, there's like, if you're like staring into their soul,
there's a difference between like actively staring at someone like a creep and just kind of idly gazing in a direction. I mean,
Right. Cause if you're idly gazing at somebody and they're gazing back at you and you hold eye contact, sometimes even for a long time, it can feel really natural and like you fell in love with the person.
Do you fall in love with people you look at in the eyes?
Sometimes. I feel like sometimes I experience love when I make eye contact for a long time with like a really beautiful woman.
I mean, just with a beautiful woman?
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
I gave you all the chances. You're just like, nope, I'm sticking. I'm riding this horse over the cliff. It's mine.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
All right.
I'm not sure I fully understand what's going on, but
you'll hear it in post.
Any more on eye contact before we?
No, I think we've talked
forward.
For like 30 minutes about eye contact. Let's move on.
This has been an educational episode for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not hugely about the lols. I just figured we're talking.
Oh, to be completely honest with you, Mick, we've actually made kind of a change in somewhat more recent episodes where we try to get more serious as the episode goes on. With the yucks, but like this is dead on what we're trying to go for. So you're in the
cool.
right place.
This is sweet. This is exactly what we're going for.
There's like a billion things I want to talk to you about, but like I'll try to kind of pick my battles here. I don't know why I said battles.
battles? Like, which battle are we going to have?
Every topic is just a fucking grueling war.
So do you speak Mandarin?
Wait, my turn, Joe.
Jesus Christ, I'm fucking sorry. I'm embarrassed that I misbehaved right. just now okay. by asking a question out
place,
of mine.
Joe. Okay.
My bad.
Mick, are you playing anything recently?
I am. So normally, lately I haven't been playing anything just because I've been working on my project. Mm-hmm. However, there's this little game called Dead Cells that...
I've heard of that.
It popped up on my app store, and I heard about it from other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing it on my phone occasionally. I actually kind of stopped playing because I didn't max it out. There's basically like you can beat the game five different difficulties to get like, you know, special endings and stuff. But
sure.
No, I played it on my phone and a lot of people are surprised because apparently that game is not a game you should be playing on your phone. But after I had it on my phone for a while, I was like, I think I'm ready to commit. So I put a ring on it.
Ooh.
And I stepped over to the PlayStation and got it from the store. And so I did play it kind of off and on while I was working. But even now, it's probably been like weeks since I even played that. But I loved it. It was super fun. I'm really into roguelikes. I really like Binding of Isaac. I like the idea of like combining powers into different combos of powers, different builds per run. And it has that. It has that in spades. It's really cool.
You're a fan of Edmund McMillan's work?
Yeah. I like Meat Boy. It feels a little bit more surgical in terms of like what you have to do. Like mm-hmm. there's like very specific things you have to do, and it's more kind of reaction based and kind of memorizing levels and all that kind of stuff, which is still fun. But I just, you know, there's something about Isaac, just the chaos, you know, that I really enjoy.
Have you ever delved into the Hitman series?
I have not, but I've seen lots of gameplay and a couple of my friends. Do you guys know Djibouti Dubs?
Yes.
Those guys?
Yes.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, so they used to do a lot of, like, they dub over commercials and stuff like that. But then they also now have a game. They've been doing gaming on Twitch for a while. They're doing really, really good. There's another guy, Classy Pax, and both of these guys do a lot of RPing when they do Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know if Classy Pax played Hitman, but I do know Djibouti did with his friends. And they just kind of like voice the people as they're playing the games. And they're so fucking good. They're so funny. But yeah, I have not actually played it.
Someone in the chat is suggesting you should cosplay as Agent 47. That would actually work.
Yeah, it would work.
You know, we actually had Edmund McMillan on the show.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did. Fuck you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, someone post the link.
Someone post the link someone in chat. This little piece of shit's doubting us. Press an X.
It started as just an exasperation of disbelief, but then I had to commit to it after you guys took it seriously. Then it was like, oh fuck, I'm in a corner now. I gotta I'm sticking to my guns. You never did it. I won't believe it. That wasn't him.
All right.
That's awesome. Did he talk about any future projects?
He did, and you can find out about this. I'll go ahead and put a link in the show notes, guys, if you want to hear about what Edmund McMillan is up to next after The Legend of Bumbo.
Okay, hey, tell me just right off the bat if this is right or wrong, if this is myth or legend or fact. I heard that the team that made Antibirth, which was the free extension off of Afterbirth, that team was hired to create the next actual full Isaac game. Did you hear anything about that?
You'll have to listen to the episode to find out.
Oh, you D. Oh. Fine. I will. I'll do it happily. Take that.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
We're bringing back Djibouti Dubs. We'll do it live. All the old internet memes from back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're old.
My Yahoo.
They're rock stars.
My Yahoo.
You remember so that cute one? Too. Mm. So cute.
Isn't that guy dead now? The Numa Numa guy?
I don't know.
Wait, that wasn't Boogie?
Funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. Didn't Boogie do like a weird meme thing that he got popular for?
Well, he plays like
when he started
the Frankish, the guy.
That was it. I swore he did like some meme stuff at the beginning where it was just like gifs of him doing stuff.
I'm sorry, I haven't brushed up on my Boogie lore for this episode, but you're probably right.
You know, you got to remember, guys. I got into all of this when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm behind the times. Yeah. I've never seen Seinfeld, you know, like
what?
Yeah. I was in Asia.
All right. Oh. That's perfectly acceptable, yeah. Isn't it? As a reason.
By the time I came back, I was basically going to college and I didn't have a TV.
So you lived in Asia until you were
17.
Would you like to talk about like cultural differences? I mean, they must be vast.
Of course. They're very, very vast.
Oh, can I try to limit the scope here just to keep it on point?
Yeah.
Do you have something that people wouldn't expect as a cultural difference?
No, let's only talk about things people would expect.
No.
People wouldn't expect. Okay. Well, I'll say this. If you go to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, or Taipei, Taiwan now, you would not have even the slightest inkling of what it used to be 20 years ago, which it was a very third world, open sewers, you know, potholes in all the roads. There was no mass transportation except for maybe buses, stuff like that. Now, both of those cities have wonderful mass transportation, light rail systems and subways. The infrastructure is also a lot better now, and they're a lot cleaner as well. But back then, I remember in Taiwan, you know, just the open sewers and stuff. But in Malaysia specifically, I remember right across the street from our school, there was like this, it's not a reservoir. It's kind of like remember in Terminator when they drive the truck through that overpass and then they're in that watery area? What is that called? It's not a river. It's not what do you even call that? A runoff or a?
Like a
thingy.
Levee?
Like a levee thingy,
I guess. Drive one's Chevy to a levee, but the levee was dry.
Yeah.
Or like in Greece, didn't they drive around one of those two?
Yeah, a Chevy.
Well, yeah, they drove up like the wall and shit when they were racing or something. Anyways, so there was one of those right across the street from our school, and there's like these shanty towns everywhere, and so they have these really rickety homes made of just scraps of metal and wood and stuff, and. I remember one specifically that was hanging over that kind of watery area, and there are these kids in the water, and it goes up to about their knees or so. And they were just pulling up buckets that had holes in the bottom to pull out fish. But all the fish they're pulling out are like dead fish. So like, you know, we're going to this international school where we have a nice cafeteria, and everyone who's going there is an ambassador's kid or a tech guy's kid, because it's all expatriate kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's all expats. So they all got a lot of money. Bankers, architects, scientists, all that kind of stuff. And then right across the street, there's like these poor kids pulling dead fish out of, you know, this shitty water. And there was a lot of that. There's for the Goodwill Games that were happening in Kuala Lumpur. From the airport to Kuala Lumpur, there was a lot of poverty. And a lot of palm fields. So for the Goodwill Games, instead of helping those people or relocating those people, they decided to build a giant wall on the freeway. Very fancy, colorful, welcoming, you know, foreigners into the country. But really, it was just to hide all the poor dying people, you know, like. But now, I mean, I'm sure those still exist, but it's a very beautiful place and it seems very affluent now. But yeah. Culturally, if you're in a Muslim country, or at least in Malaysia, don't point with your finger. You point with your thumb. Don't shake anybody's hand with your left hand. That's for wiping your ass. Yeah, you don't eat with that hand either. Yeah.
Not even a hamburger? Like, you can't eat with two hands?
No. And they eat with their hands, too. That's the thing. So they'll have, like, you'll see them eating with their hands. So you got to make sure you don't use your poop hand.
Do they really wipe their hands, their butt with their hands?
They did when I was there. Yeah. Huh. If you went to an outhouse, they had a hose. No toilet paper, but a hose and a bucket. And that was it.
So you would use the hose like a...
I would. Yeah. I had to like stick my thumb in there. Remember when you were a kid, you went out with the hose and you stuck your thumb in there to get that pressure. So yeah. You could spray your friends and shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, I had to do that, but up my ass. Because I wasn't going to wipe my ass with my hand. I'm sorry.
Have you heard of the eagle method of pooping?
The eagle?
Yeah. This came from Sriracha.
I have a better method of pooping to discuss.
Wait, hold on. Back it up, though. I got to hear, what is this method?
Okay.
It's when you put your feet, you get naked and you put your feet onto the seat of the toilet.
Yeah,
and you squat like an eagle.
That's like a gargoyle, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Gargoyle eagle.
My uncle used to do that, and I walked in on him once and it freaked me out. But he did it where he was facing the wall. You know what I mean? Like, he was facing the back of the toilet. Yeah. So he would be squatting on top of the toilet naked, pooping, but they need to have like a book.
Like on top of the tank?
Yeah, he'd be reading on top of the tank. You know, if he was a kid, he'd probably be playing DS or some shit. But he was.
But his
you know,
feet would be on the seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to C Ranch, that is the. And I think Asterios is now a believer as well in the eagle method of pooping.
Those were previous guests for reference. They taught Asterios us the eagle method.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially a squat. I mean, that's like a squat toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, C Ranch went to. What was it? In Indonesia?
Something like that.
And she got Bali belly and had 30 days of diarrhea or something.
Yeah.
And her toilet in her hotel room was a hole in the middle of the hotel.
And she just got used to it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to tell you, there's no, even without a squat toilet, I do highly suggest pooping naked. That is just something I like doing.
It's a luxury.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know why I would have clothes on while I pooped.
It is nice.
I'm not afraid to like fecal dust getting on my clothes or anything. I just like the freedom.
You got to poop naked. You got to podcast naked. It's just nice in general.
Yeah.
Lars, you were mentioning about speaking of pooping.
Oh yeah. Mick, would you be amenable to doing like a 15-second read of something?
Sure.
Okay.
Does it have anything to do with pooping?
Have you ever heard of the three shells method?
Yes. Well, I mean, I know of the movie Demolition Man.
Okay. So we have a tradition once in a while where if we get on like a voice guy, we have them do a read of this. Would that be appropriate? We can cut this if not.
I don't care. Do you need a specific voice?
Just take a look at it and see what comes to mind.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to post this in the chat. This is the three shells method of pooping.
All right.
Just four easy steps.
I'll add some nice voiceover music in post for this.
So this is how the shells work.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Step one. Take two of the seashells and place them between your fingers to be used like chopsticks. Step two. Using the two shells, gently pull on the feces to remove them from your posterior until bowels have been completely emptied. Step three. Using the third seashell, scrape away any fecal remnants from your posterior. Step 4. Dispose of all three seashells in toilet and flush.
Damn, that was perfect. That was great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
That was like,
what a waste of shells.
We could probably reuse them.
Well, it's for scooping up the poop.
I know, but why don't you just wash them?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Do you want to sit there and manually scrape poop off of shells?
No.
That reminds me of like you're in the subway in London and the voice comes on, but it's like you're in the bathroom and the voice comes on and tells you what to do with these shells in case you're not familiar.
But did anyone ever actually know what the three shells did in Demolition Man?
So no, the answer is no. That this image right here that we had you
It's a MacGuffin.
Yeah, it's one of those things that they don't explain, but this is like imagining how could you use three seashells to poop? So thank you.
I like specifically that you put them together like chopsticks. Yeah. When in fact, what you're really doing is putting them together like a full clam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like tongs.
Also, that wouldn't work unless your poop was solid.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah. No, that wouldn't work for the majority of my alcoholic butt sprays.
All right. By the way, we usually kind of like close-ish out the podcast by doing a couple live questions. Are you amenable to that?
Of course.
Okay. If anyone has a live question they'd like to give on air, type 7.
Ooh, changing it up this time.
It's normally 5, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Slender Ender Guy.
Hey, Merrick, it's been a while.
Hey, Bobby.
Hello.
If you don't remember me, I was a part of a Use podcast, but I was going to ask, since you brought up the whole gaming thing, I was going to ask,
yeah,
have you ever done anything like anything like giving wise, like I know you did Secure, but like extensively, like drawing, like any like longer voice acting roles, like for main characters and such
for games.
Yes.
Man, I don't, there's a couple of AAA games that I am a part of that are coming out. I don't know how soon, but they're not main roles at all, but they are cool projects. I'd say that the biggest main character in a game, and there's some like mobile games and stuff, No Way Home by SMG.
You did a Yu-Gi-Oh one too, right?
The game?
Yeah, I remember seeing
it. No, I wasn't actually I don't think I was actually in the game. I was in the anime. I was in Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal.
Oh, okay. That's right.
But yeah, I wasn't actually in any of the games. I think that the one that some people know about is the big internet joke, Hunt Down the Freeman.
Oh, that's right.
That.
You were in that?
I
was the main guy.
You were? Yep. Holy shit. That's fantastic.
It's a devastating nightmare.
I love that so much. That's
yeah. Wow. No, I'm glad some people get a kick out of it. I genuinely do. I don't mean that facetiously. Yeah, it was a shit show. It was a shit show, and you know, it is what it is. I did my best, considering half the scripts were like broken English, and a lot of the recordings were like, "Oh, we need these lines like right now," and I just record them in the middle of the night. And yeah, they still owe me $4,500 from what they said they were going to pay me.
Wait, they still owe you?
They're not going to pay me. There's no, they took it and they ran. A lot of the guys who worked on it didn't get paid. But yeah, they initially, he was like, yeah. You know, this is how much we're going to pay you. I was like, that's a lot of money. That's cool. And so I did kind of feel like I could be on call if they needed additional lines and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the lines aren't even in the project. And yeah. But that's the one I think most people know of. They may not even know it's me, but, yeah,
I see.
Known for the wrong reasons, but known nonetheless.
All right. I'm going to give someone else a chance to chat with you. Nice talking with you again, man.
All right, bubby.
See you.
Cheers, bud.
Thank you, Slender Ender Guy. Next up is Dom, who's one of our new patrons.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi, Dom.
Okay.
Hello, Dom.
I do have one little question for you. What was the whole process whenever you were casted to voice Leon Abacchio in JoJo Part 5? Did Viz Media contact you about it, or was there like some kind of audition?
Yeah. So I guess in some cases with casting for anime, your demo reel, your voice demo reel is on file. So they already kind of have an idea of what you do. And they'll basically go through that and they're like, you know what? There's this bit character. There's that character. They just basically call you up and say, we've cast you from our in-house reel. For this project, this is the first gig I ever had with Bang Zoom, who is the studio that recorded the dub. And so I was on a mailing list and they had sent me, and I'd sent, you know, I'd had conversations with them. I've had a couple auditions with them, like four or five, didn't book anything. And then I got that one. And so, I just sent in two takes and like a week and a half later, they sent me the email. It was very short, basically just said, hey, you got cast as Abacchio. And I reread it probably for an hour, you know, just 100 times, just kept rereading it.
You were thinking that
I couldn't
it was
believe
not
it.
Real.
I honestly could not. I had, yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. This is a complete truth. I eventually got down on my knees and I did start crying.
I wouldn't blame you, dude.
It was
I mean to be casted alongside with people like Ray Chase and Kyle McCarley, I bet that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. No, it's a really cool, all the guys are really nice. I saw Sean today. He plays Mista.
Sean Chiplock,
and, yeah. And it's funny because, you know, we're in the show together and we're always interacting. But the truth is when you record by yourself. And the majority of the time you don't meet the other people that you're voicing with. I've never met Fugo. I've never met Narancia.
Yeah, I kind of got that idea when Alex Lee, the voice of Zenitsu in the Demon Slayer dub, he has like his own YouTube channel. He was recording things by himself. And so I was like, oh, so you don't get in a studio like what people do at Funimation.
Yeah. Well, Alex works like a horse, dude. That guy is everywhere. There are so many projects coming out in the near future that are all going to have his name on it. He's been freaking killing it.
He's talented. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, but I was gonna say with Lego City Adventures, they do generally have everybody in the room at the same time. So that one has like Roger Craig Smith. He's the voice of like Sonic and Batman and a bunch of stuff.
Chris Redfield,
James Arnold Taylor, James Arnold Taylor, who is Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars animated, as well as a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And just that whole room, there's just like, you know, there's Matt Mercer there sometimes and all those other guys. But we're all there and we all kind of record at, you know, simultaneously. So I actually prefer that. I think it's just fun. You know, it's just kind of fun to interact and kind of play off of each other. And but, you know, being in the studio by yourself doing the dubs is also fun, you know. So
thanks,
Dom.
You're welcome. Thanks for answering my question, Mick.
You got it, buddy.
Next up is IRL Skello. I think I'm saying that right. You're Hello. Unmuted.
Hello.
Hello, Skello.
Hi. I wanted to ask.
Can you speak up a little bit? It's hard to hear you.
Are you like 5,000 miles away from your mic?
I can hear. All
right. I wanted to ask if you ever had like the time to ever do something like this, if you could host a podcast of your own, what would you like center it around?
All right. I would actually, that would be great if I had the time to do it. If I had the time to do it, hypothetically, I do think if I did a podcast, it would probably not be particularly entertaining. I think a lot of it would be just kind of talking to people, and if they had concerns or issues, it'd probably be kind of serious and kind of, it would be a mix of like casual and a little serious, just, you know, talking about people's issues and stuff. Cause on a pretty regular basis, I'd say at least a couple times a month, I get emails or private messages or something from somebody that's just like, man, I'm having a really tough time with this, or I don't know what I'm doing with my life or my girl, this, or, you know, and as much as I probably shouldn't dive too much into that, A, because I'm not a professional, and I shouldn't be giving out, you know, life advice, but B, just, you know, I don't know if I'm helping really. That said, if I were to do a podcast, I think it would probably be more like that, you know, just kind of like call in and talk. You know, what's up? How are you feeling? What's going on? And, you know.
Oh, cool.
Thanks for asking the question, Skello.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Mick, for inviting us on to be your co-host. I really appreciate it.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. Thank you.
Yeah, it was just heavily implied. You didn't have to come out and say it. I got that. Okay, next.
Yeah.
And probably the last for now is Ellie.
Hello.
Hi, Ellie.
Ellie, what are you doing here? Oh my gosh.
Fancy running into you here. Mm. I was curious about what, if you were aware of and what you think about the small but rabid contingency of has-been hotel fans on TikTok.
Oh.
Because I've seen a lot of it there.
Really? Has it been popping up more?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know about the artists who do fan art, which is always great. And I know about the cosplayers because I've seen some of those at cons and as well as the photos being shared by Hasbin. But I did not know about this burgeoning group or this dark cloud coming from the gutter.
Hasbin Hotel has the hashtag on TikTok has 386 million views.
Oh, my God. What is that big for TikTok though?
Well, that's a third of a billion views. Yeah, that's on one hashtag.
Well, because Joe's actually a very large TikToker, so he's given some expertise here.
To put it into perspective, hashtag Disneyland has 1.1 billion.
Okay. So it's in the ballpark almost.
Yeah, it's like one third of the entire hashtag Disneyland.
Wow. Well, I can't really comment on it because I haven't really explored it, but apparently a quarter or a third of a billion people have. but now I have to check it out because I am genuinely curious. You've clearly seen some of this, yes?
Yes.
And what do you think?
I think it's very interesting. It's
what
a
non-answer.
Putting her on the spot
it's,
there.
It's
you know
a
what?
Lot
she put
of
me
cosplaying.
On the spot. She put
it's
me
true.
On the spot
it's
first.
It's a lot of cosplaying, and I think that's really interesting and cool. I think it's really... I've seen like JoJo cosplay and you're a part of JoJo, but seeing these other things like that you're associated with pop up with like people are going to be dressing up as stuff from it. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
I want to check it out.
And
sure.
I'm so happy about it for you because I know how hard you work. Like we see a lot of it in the background and like, it's so awesome to like see more of your work getting out into the zeitgeist beyond Newgrounds and beyond Sleepy Cabin, you know, as Mick.
First, I gotta say, love you. Thank you. That's so awesome. You know, give big hugs. And the second part I got to say, though, is I don't like, as much as I'm a part of these, it's hard for me to be like, this is my project. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a part of it. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't. I do have a sense of pride for being in the project. Absolutely. But I don't think if anything, like when I see that, I'm happy for Viv, or with the JoJo stuff, I'm just happy that JoJo's out there. You know what I mean? And yeah, it is cool to be a part of it, but I don't think I ever consider it like my thing. You know what I mean? But I think it's cool to see cosplayers of the characters that, you know, we play and stuff like that.
All right, cool.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, if you have any good ones, Ellie, just DM me.
Okay, I will.
Send me some.
All right.
I'm genuinely curious now.
All right, I'll send you some.
All right, thanks.
Okay, does anyone have like a really fantastic and also quick last question to ask? Because then otherwise we got to kind of wrap things up.
It's like how I like to have sex.
Ken Vias, you're unmuted.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Hey, Mick.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, I guess quick question here. Will the final episodes of SleepyCast be released before 2030?
You know, you know me, man. I really wanted us to hit that 30 mark. We really, and the thing is that there was like 29A, 29B, and,
yeah.
And I wanted it to be like a finale with like everybody, you know. I thought that would be the way to go out. Gets harder and harder as the days go by, and I'm not quite sure, but I think 2030 is a reasonable amount of time, you know, gives me a little bit of time at least.
A little bit.
And I'd really like there to be a finale with everybody. I'd like to have Stamper up here while Corey's up here and Jeff's up here. And if that happens, then no matter what anyone else feels about doing the 30th one, I feel like we could just wrangle them in. We just kind of force them to do it. You know what I mean? Obviously we haven't made any promises because you know how that works, how that turns out.
True.
Yeah. But yeah, so I would say that it's always in the back of my head, so I wouldn't count it out. If you talk to some of the other guys, you may not hear the same answer, but I would love there to be a true finale. And I think if we do wait longer, a lot of people will have changed. A lot of people a lot of things will have happened in our lives as they have. And it would be really cool to kind of get a retrospect of the guys who are sitting around in a warehouse drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and talking about breakfast cereals and butt sex and shooting seagulls and whatever, and kind of where they are now. Yeah.
Awesome. Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Ken Vias.
No prop.
See, Kebby.
Out of curiosity, Mick, what was your first job ever?
First job. Sam Goody. Sam Goody.
I remember Sam Goody.
It was like a Tower Records kind of, but not as good.
Oh, cool.
And I think the one I had after that, I worked at a strip club as a doorman and then a bartender, which it was a dry bar, so it didn't matter.
And then one of the dancing girls?
I did end up dating one of the girls. So I quit because the guys who worked there were fucking crazy. They would talk about how they would go into downtown Seattle and find hobos and they would zap them with, because they all had tasers for security. And they'd go into downtown Seattle, look for hobos, and they would zap these guys and jokingly talk about how they'd make them pee themselves. And I was like, I can't, if I get caught, like I'm fucked. Like I just can't work here. So I dated her for like a month. She bought me a lot of pleather and mesh stuff. Turned out she had a kid I didn't know about. And then she went to Vegas with a roommate and I never heard from her again.
But it sounds like it was a positive experience. So
yeah, it was great. I mean, hey, it's something to keep in the back pocket as a story. Exactly. Nice story, bro. Nice.
And that's how you became one of the dancing girls?
That is. Oh, I thought you said my job was one of the dancing girls. And I was like, oh.
I could see it. I could see
dancing.
No, man, I did. That is what I said.
I can't. I couldn't do that. Would you do it for a lot of money?
Good question.
How much money would it take for you to get down to some Speedos and spin around a pole for a bunch of drunk dudes?
Let's say there has to be a cowboy hat, too.
A cowboy hat for how long? Like 1 minute?
No,
minutes?
1 minute.
30 minutes.
No, it's like, well, okay. I was going to say normally a song is about 4 minutes.
So like say one 15. Song.
Yeah.
Okay, one song. Yeah, 5 minutes.
Strip down
five.
To a Speedo and yeah. a cowboy hat and dance around for one song.
Yeah. You have to get a boner and you have to enjoy it.
Have to get a boner, have to enjoy it. Yeah. I would probably do that for like $5,000, maybe less.
That sounds reasonable. $5,000?
Maybe less. Yeah. Maybe I'd do it for like $1,000.
But you know what?
Because that's honestly, that's a lot of money.
I got to say, your grandma, she'd be in the background watching, supporting you. And after you got off stage,
B plus.
If you're listening to this, grandma, I'm so sorry.
After you got off stage and you're all sweaty, she handed you a napkin to like wipe the sweat off. And then when you looked at it, you turn it over, B plus.
B plus. My great aunt was washing.
Right.
I'm so ashamed. I think that's a great,
that's a good circle around. If you guys want to start closing this up, Mick, if people wanted to go find your stuff, and I realize that's vague, but just like different stuff you're kind of working on, where would you direct them?
Vague question. So yep. I'll give you a vague answer. You can Google Rice Pirate and then the thing that you'd like to find Rice Pirate on. So whether it's Twitch or YouTube, like I don't know my URL on Twitch. I don't know my URL on anything really. But yeah, I'm on, I don't really Twitch, so I don't even know why I brought that up. I do occasionally randomly, but yeah, YouTube. If you want to find out about Blood Sun Vendetta, you can go to ricepirate.com. That's that JoJo motion comic. Or if you just want to follow along with whatever the hell I'm doing, you can check me out on Twitter at ricepiratemick.
Oh, I was meaning to ask,
oh,
by the
Sunner,
way.
If, yeah, you got, sorry.
If this is a secret, you don't have to answer it, but is there a reason for your username?
I was playing Puzzle Pirates at the time a lot. It's a puzzle-based game. I'm half Chinese and my name in Chinese means rice.
Asian. Okay.
So Mick is mi ke and mi is rice. So like if you ever had like fried mi fun or whatever, mi fa, that's rice.
We've eaten you at that point.
Okay. Yes, you're eating me. Makes Eat sense. Me, please.
Joe, if people wanted to wear the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
If you're looking to wear the podcast, what you're going to want to do is make your way over to merch.t1podcast.com. And it's at merch.t1podcast.com that you'll see our nice little phone cases, pillows, pictures, stickers, and more. And when I say more, I mean a lot more. We sell them in all sizes. Check it out now at merch.t1podcast.com.
Also, we've got a new friend named Professor Dominic, but his friends call him Dom. He doesn't really do much other than live stream on his PS4, but although his channel has been growing a bit more because of his Danganronpa streams. If you're by any chance interested in his stuff, then go ahead and check out his channel, youtube.com/user/dagamerishere, bro. That's DagamerIsHerebro.
The gamer is here, bro.
That is one of the benefits you get for being a $10 patron once a month. We do dramatic readings or shoutouts on air. You can go to patreon.com/T1podcast to join the crew. Help out your favorite podcasters, Joe and Lars. And you get a lot of cool stuff like early listening privileges to episodes as soon as they're done being edited, as well as bonus episodes of the show, which no one else gets to listen to except you guys. As hey, well Lars. As a funny role on the Discord, a patron-only chat where we shit on the plebs, and more. Yes, Joe?
You know, before I went to Europe, I got this nice new pair of shoes, and they're good shoes. I like them, but they're not black, so I can't wear them at work. So when I go to work, I still have to wear these soleless, no-grip, old, bad shoes. And I, you know, it's raining this week in Southern California, and I slip a lot. I'm always slipping and tripping and falling, and I'm hurting my bum. I'm hurting my little bum. I just wish that we would have more $2 patrons so I could get a nice pair of shoes.
Joe is doing just fine financially. Don't worry about that. But if you do want to help support the show, go ahead and go to patreon.com/T1podcast. It helps the show succeed.
My shoes, they're full of glass and vinegar. It hurts my feet.
You sound like an early 1900s boy named Pippin who's on the streets.
I put salt on them.
But yeah. All right. Thank you, Mick, for coming on. You were actually on our list of like most wanted guests, so really appreciate getting a chance.
Well, I hope I didn't drop the ball too hard. It was a pleasure.
I give you a B plus.
Thank you.
You were great. You know, we didn't want to sound too desperate and right away we've been waiting for this moment. But
you guys did great.
Did we do okay?
I give you guys an A minus.
Oh, a little bit better.
That's pretty good. I'll take it. That's better than I was expecting you to say.
I like the chill. You guys are super chill. You guys play off of each other. You guys clearly have a chemistry. I don't know if you guys are in a relationship or something, but you guys work. And it's a nice chill environment. You know, the people following along as well all seem very respectful and cool. I think your fan base is sometimes a gauge of the type of content you create. You know what I mean? Like the spirit of what you do. And I hope you guys keep up and I hope you guys keep kicking ass.
Thank you. Yeah, Joe and I have basically, it's like a marriage, but without the sex.
So like a marriage.
Just streaming thick streams of barf, the meat barf.